Well, hey, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to have you tonight. If you'll find a seat, we'll be rolling in just a second. Live streamers, wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you tonight. Well, welcome and happy Wednesday. Turn to your neighbor and say, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
All right, if I could have your attention, I got a couple of announcements real quick. Announcement number one, this is for the ladies. All the ladies in the house, listen to me for just a minute, if I can have your attention. A week from this Friday, which is October the 25th, can you believe we're almost heading towards November? My goodness. Anyways, October 25th, Friday night at 6 o'clock, right here is a ladies' little bonfire outside and some time together. So make sure you're going to come for that. We'll have a sign-up sheet starting Sunday. But what Margo wants is, she couldn't make it, something came up with work today. If there can be a couple ladies that can volunteer to make big pot of chili for that night. So it'd be bonfire, chili. You bring a dessert. We'll provide some other stuff. But it's a time of fellowship. That's for the ladies a week from this Friday. So if anybody's interested in making that chili, let me know or let her know. And it'll be a good time. So be there for that. Here's a second announcement. You guys noticed our sound system's in. All right. So doesn't it look nice? And obviously, much more sleek. By the way, I have speakers for sale. They're only $5. I'm kidding. But we'll take care of that. Now, I want to tell you something. By the way, this was installed by a professional company. Actually, they're still here, and they're mixing our worship for us tonight. Now, I'm be real honest with you. It's going to feel louder than you're normally used to here. The reason is because the better sound, and it's going to be a fuller sound, and you're going to hear the bass more, and even the drum, it's a fuller sound. But I'm going to tell you something, so this helps you a little bit. When y'all were just in here talking, the dBs in the room were 72 decibels, okay? We're running the sound at 80 and less. It's going to feel loud, but it's actually, we're running less decibels than we were this past Sunday. It's just going to feel different. You get what I'm saying? And so we're going to adjust it. We're going to adjust tonight. Obviously, when there's people here Sunday, we'll adjust more people on Sunday. We'll adjust it again. But we're excited because I was listening. Listen, it sounds good. My goodness, it sounds good. So I'm excited about this. And finally, after all this time, we got our sound fixed. But it's going to help us worship tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So everybody stand up at your feet tonight. Let's worship Jesus together.
Come rest on us, as the Spirit was moved.
Cry. And I think oftentimes we have a problem and we want it just figured out, or we say there's no way out, but that's where he thrives, in the impossible. And we're learning about Gideon in our small group, and he only wanted 300 men to go with him. It was 1 to 450. That was the odds. But God had a plan, amen? And so whatever you're going through, if the odds seem like they're not with you, praise God that we serve a way maker who makes a way where there is no way, where he doesn't care what the odds are, because he knows the end from the beginning, and his ways are so much higher than our ways. His plans are so much higher than our plans. And he can take giants down with a stone. He can part a sea with a staff. He can make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and provide manna from heaven and provide money in the mouth of a fish. Amen. It doesn't have to make sense. That is the God that we serve, the way maker. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever you need, remember that God will supply every need according to his riches, according to his glory. The Bible says that he sends his angels to give charge over us. It doesn't have to make sense. One more time, and let's believe that he can make a way where there is no way. Amen.
Name, the name above every other name.
We're so glad to see you here tonight. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith and kids. You are dismissed.
Checked into kids' church and all that business getting together, but it's good to see you tonight. Give them a chance to get back up here. But as you're waiting, you can get your giving ready. If you have something to give tonight, your tithe, your offering. Offering envelopes are in chairs in front of you. If there's not one there, you can wave your hand around and one of the ushers will find you and help you out. Even if you're way down front in the front row, they'll come help you. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Kind of felt like fall came in yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah.
My goodness. But it is here. What's that? Oh, you felt like winter came? Well, I figure if it's that cold, might as well snow, right?
Yeah.
That's just my humble opinion. In case you're watching on live stream, they're all booing me right now. So, just so you know. let me pray over your giving tonight if you have something. Lord, we thank you to be in the house and to be together and to worship. And Lord, I praise you tonight as we give. We honor you and we put you above all things and everything in our life, including our finances, Lord. And I thank you that you have provided. You will continue to provide. And in that, we will always honor you with our giving because you are faithful. And I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, we all say
amen.
Amen. If you have something, you can bring it or give it to Mike, whatever you do, and he'll bring it down. But again, ladies, a week from Friday, come on out, and we'll be excited for you to have that time. Got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn there. We're still in Hebrews 11. We're going to be for a little bit yet. I'm enjoying this series. We're talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God or the message of Jesus. Faith is sparked in your life when you hear the gospel of Jesus. That's where it is born in you. It's a response to the good news of Jesus, and faith is born in you. And then we begin then afterwards to live a life of faith because the righteous live by faith. How are you counted as righteous? Because anything you did? No, we're counted as righteous because of the work of Jesus. So, we hear the gospel. Faith is birthed in us to grab hold of the gospel. We believe. We trust. And in that moment, we are made righteous in the forgiveness of our sins. Now we're counted among the righteous. But then what do the righteous do? They live, obviously, but they live by faith. In all the life of the Christian living is bound up in who God is and what God has said. And that is how we will live. Anything else outside of that, If it doesn't contradict him, okay, but if it does, it ain't for you. Is that right? See what I'm getting at? Now, and maybe somebody would argue this point, but I watched this past Sunday, I watched some football games. I watched my Eagles beat the Browns. Not saying there's any Browns fans in here, but if you are, I'm sorry. Now, football is not an idolatry in my life, and because it's not an idolatry, it's whatever. I can take it or leave it. I like to watch it. There's nothing sinful in watching it. See, I'm getting at it. It is not, to me, a contradictory to God and His Word. Therefore, it is okay to have that involved in my life. But yet, if I was to do something that is contradictory to His Word, then that belies God, His Word, and the righteous live by faith. So I'm getting at. So your life is to be bound up in Him and what He has said. And there's all sorts of things in this world that don't contradict Him, but they're okay as long as they don't come to a place of idolatry or pulling you away from Him. That's why if you've struggled in your past with a certain thing, that may be a conviction of your heart. That may not be a conviction of my heart. Don't bring your conviction to me. You live by your conviction and what the Holy Spirit says to you. Well, we can have some differences on some stuff like that, right? Now, there's not a person in this room or anywhere in the world that can tell you to the detail of how you should live their life based on how they live their life. The person who tells you how to live your life is God and His Word, right? Anybody else that tries to tell me how to live my life, that's not God. I'll say, does that line up with what God has said? And if it does, well, that's a nice word. But if it doesn't, that's your conviction, you can keep it to yourself. Amen. Be blessed. You see what I'm getting at? But the righteous live by faith in Him. There used to be a song, every step I take, every move I make, or something. How many of you guys remember that song? Every step I take, every move I make is in Him. Right? Paul said, I think he quoted somebody. This is really interesting. In Him we live and move and have our being. Right? Didn't he say that? Do you know he quoted somebody when he said that was original to him? Do you know who he quoted? If you study this, he quoted a prophet of Zeus. He stole that from him. You know that? A prophet of Zeus said that stuff. This guy, by the way, I believe his name was Epimenides or something like that. This guy was a strange dude. He had like tattoo markings all over his body. When he died, they took his skin and displayed it. It was kind of like a homage. You could go to it and read what was on him. He was the guy who originally said that in a honoring of Zeus. He said, of Zeus, in Him I live and move and have my being. And Paul said, yeah, no, that's God. Let me take that and use that the way it should be. In Him we live and move and have our being. That's living by faith. I want anything of my life to be in Him. Now, that means that any moment He can show up and say, hey, that's not a good idea. And I need to say, then it's not a good idea. So I'll live by faith in what you say, right? That's living by faith. So we've been looking at these different characters that we have in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, that the writer of Hebrews, again, they're not exactly sure who wrote it, pulled out of the stories that we know of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and examples of people who lived by faith before, at least of the ones we've been talking about now, even before the law, and there was no such thing as a Bible. All they had was God directly speaking and leading their life. Can you imagine? Imagine if you didn't have your Bible and you had to live on the essence of hearing God speak to you in that way, that's amazing stuff, I think. But I would like to say that I could do it. Hopefully, right? To be in that kind of relationship with him, to hear him and to sense him and to move my life in such a way. That was a super long introduction. So Hebrews 11 and verse 20. Hebrews 11 and verse 20, we're past Abraham and stories about Abraham. And the last week we talked about him being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac and all that went through with that. So verse 20 said, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, who is Israel, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And then by faith, at Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Okay, that's pretty interesting. So we have by faith, Isaac, then by faith, Jacob, then by faith, Joseph. Now, we're going to go back and just read snippets of these stories as we find them in the book of Genesis. But notice something here before we go there. God is the God of Abraham and who? Isaac and who? Jacob, and as we go here, and also of who? Joseph. And then Joseph, his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And God is the God of generations. I think it's the point that God would introduce himself, and he would also be introduced as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who would be named Israel. God is before the generations. He's in the generations, and he'll be after the generations. But God is the God of generations. And again, it's another point to make that to be sure that you are passing your faith to the generation behind you. Amen. Isaac learned about faith from Abraham. Can you imagine? Think about this. The conversation that Isaac had with Abraham after the whole sacrifice business. And then maybe later in Isaac's life when he really began to understand, and one day it kind of dawned on him, wait, Dad, you are going to kill me up there? Really? Are you serious right now? I mean, you imagine a moment that really dawned on his brain? I'm reading between the lines. I'm assuming something here. It's dangerous to do that, but I am. I guarantee they probably had a conversation. Abraham had the opportunity to teach Isaac faith in God. You see? Then Isaac turning around and instilling faith in who? Jacob. And we know the story of Jacob and Esau. Then Jacob, his son, we know the story of Joseph, that later in life, maybe even before Joseph was taken and sold into slavery by his brothers, nice family, right? Talk about dysfunctional, selling your brother into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt and all the things that he went through in Egypt, eventually the second in command of Egypt, and being taught faith by Jacob before that, maybe even after that. But we pass it down to the generations. That's why I love to see families in church. Not just husbands and wives, but kids for those who have them. Bringing them to church. Prioritizing time in the family of faith to learn together, to grow together. That's why we do one big family sometimes, because we want the generations to be together to see what's happening with everybody in the room. You know what I'm saying? So, yes. God is God of generations, and we must be pointed to teach faith to the generations that come behind us. Listen to me. Here's the thing. Your family, I mean, y'all got kids. Okay, some of you, your kids, their empty nesters are out, but listen to me. Your kids are the first witness that you have. Ministry, I'm called to ministry. Good, start in your home. How about that? You know how often we come across people that they're different at home than they are outside of the home? You missed that whole point. Ministry starts at home before you walk out your door. Listen to me. So tomorrow morning, Margo had something came up at work right at the end of the day. She couldn't be here tonight. It doesn't happen often. Tomorrow morning when I go to work, this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to come downstairs and make myself some breakfast, right? And I'm going to walk out of the kitchen. I'm going to grab my backpack. I'm going to grab, if it's cold, I'll grab a coat. And Margo is going to be sitting on a couch with a cup of coffee. And it'll be the first time that we see each other because she generally gets up right before I get up or while I'm getting ready, she gets up. You understand that ministry starts at home. That interaction right there, I'm a pastor. Tomorrow, I'm going to go work at the office. I'm going to prepare my message for Sunday tomorrow. I've got it started, but I'm going to finish it tomorrow. In the middle of the day, I got to get all these stitches out of my back. Thank God. Then I'm going to go to the gym after work. And most likely, she has a Walmart pickup order waiting for me when I come out of the gym. That's what's going to happen. That's my day tomorrow, just so you know. I'm going to go home, eat some dinner, and chances are there's a Thursday night football game on. If I watch, I'll maybe watch a little bit of it, okay? But before I go prepare my message in my office to minister to you on Sunday, we're going to talk part two about to the brokenhearted. My ministry starts with my wife as I'm leaving the house. Do you hear what I'm saying? And if I still had kids in the home, and they were getting ready for school, eating cereal, or somebody not down in time, and they're still getting ready when they should be downstairs ready to go, my ministry starts at home with my kids. You see what I'm getting at? Generations. I think some people get caught up in being in ministry. They want to go, 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 go. Okay, if that's what the Lord calls you to do, amen. But if you're not at home first with it, don't even go down the road. Starts at home, all right? Okay, that was a big rabbit trail, not in my notes. So Genesis chapter 27. And verse 27. I sent out a marriage minute today. If you get those, you got one today, check it out. If you don't get the marriage minutes every couple weeks through a text, let me know. We'll sign you up. I talked today about pursuing your wife. Why? Well, pursuing your spouse. Why? Because ministry starts in the home. Genesis 27 and verse 27. So we're going back to what we just read a minute ago. Genesis 27 and verse 27. It says, so he came near him and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, well, who is Isaac blessing here? He's blessing Jacob. See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven. Notice he's blessing him. This is what we just read in Hebrews, that Isaac blessed Jacob. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine, and let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be to everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And jump down. Now, do you guys know the story here? Right now, Jacob is deceiving Isaac. Remember? Because who's the firstborn? Esau. The firstborn in this time had the birthright, and they had the blessing. Everybody else that came after fell in order. But in the custom of culture, the firstborn received the main blessing. And Isaac tricked his dad, or Jacob tricked his dad. He kind of dressed, and at this time in life, Isaac's eyesight was failing. He couldn't see right. So Jacob, and Esau was a hairy man, so he put on garments to feel like he was hairy and got out in the field, made himself smell like the field, and brought in game from the field and presented it to his dad. And his dad thinks, this is Esau, and he blesses him. He steals Esau's blessing and then later tricks Esau to give him his birthright, right? Now look at verse 33, though. Jump down there. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, now he realizes what's going on here. Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? But yet, yes, and he shall be blessed. Now, verse 39. This is right after Esau getting involved here, and Esau is here, and he's weeping, and Isaac... Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, this is to Esau, away from the fatness of the earth your dwelling shall be, and away from the dew of heaven on high, by sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. So he actually blesses Esau, but in a different way. So both Jacob and Esau do receive a blessing from Isaac. Hebrews talks about that. Now, jump to Genesis 48. I know we're jumping around here, but we'll tie it together in a minute. Genesis 48 and verse 8. Now Jacob is an old man. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 8. When Israel, that's Jacob, when Israel saw Joseph's sons, remember the whole story of Joseph and the coat of many colors and things we referenced a minute ago, he said, whose are these? And Joseph said to his father, these are my sons, whom God has given me here. So Joseph had children while he was in Egypt. And he said, bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age. So Jacob, just like his father Isaac, was losing his eyesight. So he could not see. So Joseph brought them near to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face, but behold, God has let me see your offspring also. So remember when Joseph was sold into slavery, he thought he was killed, and he never thought he'd see him again. Now he's saying, now I not only see you, but I also see your sons. Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom your fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. But when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he took his father's hand and moved it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall be a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you, Israel, I pronounce blessing, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, so there's a story of blessing again. And just like Jacob and Esau, the younger gets blessed over the older. You see that? Just, again, the older always receives the major blessing, the birthright. And here, Jacob, just like he was blessed over his brother Esau, even in deception, he is now doing it with Manasseh and Ephraim. The same thing. All right, one more thing. Genesis chapter 50. One more chapter over. And this is the end of what we read in Hebrews. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of a third generation. The children also of Machir, son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Okay. So a lot of blessings happening there. Isaac blessing Jacob. Jacob blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. Then Joseph, at the end of his life, prophesying about the Exodus. This is before Moses, before that whole story. He said, you're going to be taken up out of here to the land that Abraham was promised by God. As a matter of fact, when you go, take my bones with you. I want to be there. But then he died in Egypt and was put in a coffin there. See, in each case, as we read in Hebrews, it is by faith that these blessings are given, and it's by faith that something counted into the future was to happen. See, again, the book of Hebrews, what the writer did there, it completely overlooks the deceiving of Jacob. It counts, again, sons being blessed out of order concerning the cultural norm. See, God does not live by the rules of people. You hear that? You're supposed to bless the older and not the younger, but yet in the major line that comes to Jesus, we have the blessings getting put all over the place. You see? God doesn't live by our rules. But when we live by faith, he guides us in his way. And listen to me, his way is better. His way is always better. Well, this is what we have to do because this is just what everybody else does. Okay. But if God says something different, let's go with what he says. Right? You can live in every aspect of the cultural norms of our society, right to the T, unless God says something different. See, I'm getting at it. It's okay. You can. Until God shows a different way. Then by faith, live by what he has said versus what everybody else is doing. When I leave here tonight, I'm going to drive a gas-powered vehicle home. That is the cultural norm of our society. There are some people that still want to ride in buggies. Bless you. I'm not. See what I'm getting at? In order to have that vehicle, I had to have a job to make money. See what I'm getting at? There's a million things that I probably do that are the cultural norms of society. Right? The clothing I'm wearing, this is not unique to me. I bought this in a store. This wasn't the only shirt like this. There's probably 300 people out there that are wearing the same shirt. This is the cultural norm of society, at least for me. You may not like the shirt, but I do. There's nothing wrong with me wearing this. See, I'm getting at. I think some people, I just live so other. Oh, please. You're just like everybody else, except for this, this, and this. You drive by the rules of the road? You're going to drive home tonight, and you're going to drive on the right side of the road because we're in America. You can't just drive on the left because you want to. I'll be different. You can't. You'll be arrested. You'll kill somebody. You know why you drive on the right side of the road? Because in America, that is the cultural norm of society. You do it. You see what I'm getting at? Until God says something different. You see what I'm getting at? But when God says something different, then we live by faith. If God showed up tomorrow and said, you know that gray shirt you wore last night, church? Yeah, I don't want you to wear it anymore. Throw it away. What am I going to do by faith? I'm going to throw it away and just hope he provides something else to wear because you want me showing up to church in clothes. You see, if he told me not to drive a car anymore, sounds silly. I know it's an extreme example. By faith, I would not, but he must by faith somehow get me where I need to go. You see what I'm getting at? Those are extreme examples, but the point being, I will live life like everybody else around here until God said different. So there are certain things I will not participate in. There are certain things I will not watch. There are certain things I will not put into my body. There are certain things, associations that I won't get involved in. Because it's by faith in something God has said, right? So, yes, God leads us in how to live, and sometimes it gets outside of the cultural norm. And even in Joseph, by faith, prophesying about the Exodus that was to come, see, the Exodus is symbolic. It's one of the big picture stories that are symbolic of different things in the Bible. The Exodus is symbolic of our salvation. I am coming out of slavery into freedom. I'm leaving the bondage of sin into new life with God to properly worship him. Okay? It's symbolic of our salvation. In all things, listen to me, don't leave my bones here. Take it to the promised land. I want my brand new body in the promised land. Don't leave my bone buried in this dirt if Jesus doesn't come back before I get there. I want my bones to come up out of there and go to the promised land to be with him. And Joseph is prophesying not just to the people then, but he's prophesying to our salvation and the life to come. You know how he prophesies about that stuff? By faith. Did Joseph know that there was a guy coming in the future named Moses? No, he didn't know about Moses. Did he understand Jesus? That's going to come later. So Moses of the literal Exodus out, but did he understand Jesus of our salvation, the Exodus out? No. The symbolism of his bones being taken to the promised land, did he understand the resurrection of the dead to come when Jesus returned? No. But yet he spoke something by faith beyond his understanding. You see that? See, we grab hold of the future by faith, even if you don't understand it. So by faith, I can live outside of the cultural norms of the society when God says. But by faith, I also grab hold of something I don't fully understand. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says that your body is going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, I don't really understand fully how that's going to happen. Right? I just believe it's gonna. When we're caught up in the air to meet him as he returns. So you think about this. It's a pretty wild thought. So let's say I do die before Jesus comes back, and I'm dead 200 years. There will be, believe it or not, my dad has bought me and Margot are grave spots. In Hershey, Pennsylvania, I have grave plot. My bones, if they're even still there, whatever exists of my earthly body 200 years in that ground, when that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back, somehow it's going to go whoosh. And as I'm going up, brand new body, all brand new. I'm all back together, but in a better and new way to meet Jesus in the air. If you can fully explain that to me, you're smarter than me. But you know what? By faith, I believe that that's going to happen. By the way, I hope you're going up with me. I want to say, hey, where'd everybody go? What happened to the church? Don't do that to me. I want to be sad on the way up. I don't want to be sarcastic either. Tough beans then. That's what you did. I don't want to do that either. But by faith, I grab hold. I prophesy to the future that my bones will be taken to the promised land. Take them. And I do that by faith. You see that? That's living by faith. So living by faith is how you live today, by the words of God. But living by faith is always reaching towards what is to come. I'm always reaching forward. I believe. Amen? Amen. All right. So, I'm going to drive home tonight. I'm not going to hook up a buggy somewhere. I'm going to keep this shirt. Right? We do all those things. But man, when God speaks, I want to obey. That simple. Right? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we live by faith. Our words are bound up in you. Our actions are bound up in you. Our thoughts to be bound up in you. And I thank you, Jesus, that every single day that we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, in step with what the Spirit's saying, in step with what the Spirit is doing, that we're open to hear and to be led what we see in the Scriptures, but also what that still small voice is doing in our life through conviction about things, through, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's go there. To be obedient in that way by faith as we see in these wonderful stories that we find in our Bible. That we're people that are counted among your children because we're simply following you through life in that way. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on each one of us. That Lord, you are directing us in ways maybe sometimes we don't even understand. I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Invite somebody out Sunday. Be blessed that you go. Again, to the brokenhearted, part 2 on Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of the week.